When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Wednesday, July 16th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. In 1 week from today, the Eagles will be holding their first training camp practice, which means 1 week from today, we will have our first post-practice pod. We will have our first group of Jalen Hurts training camp stats, AJ stats, Saquon stats, and football will be back in South Philly. So very excited for 1 week from today. But as we count down the days until the beginning of training camp, we got to keep it going with some Eagles news. And we have a few things on the slate for today. First up, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, everybody's former favorite player that fans love to love when he was here. He talked on an interview with Ryan Clark and opened up more, even more than he has in the past, about his trade, why he thinks he was traded, talked about the Darius Slay beef. And he answered whether he'd be coming to the ring ceremony this Friday, which is a question I think some of us were wondering. So we're going to get into that. Then Terry McLaurin, the Washington Commanders receiver, things not going well for him in Washington, which could be good news for the Eagles. And then finally, Nick Sirianni speaks about his relationship with Jalen Hurts, where it's at, how he judges it, and maybe how things have changed over the past year. So a lot to get into today. All about relationships, oddly enough. CJ and the Eagles, Terry and Washington, Nick and Jalen. We've always been a relationship pod. We probably always will be. So let's get it going with the first part, which is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson speaking on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark. As you guys know, you've heard me say in the past, I like Ryan Clark. I think he does an awesome job. His interviews, he gets really good quotes out of people. I think he's very thoughtful. And as a result, people that he interviews are often thoughtful back. And Chauncey certainly opened up in a way where I feel he has not before. As someone that's covered Chauncey for two seasons, not consecutively, but two separate seasons, he doesn't really talk a lot to the media. He just doesn't. Like when he's in the locker room, you don't really talk to Chauncey. He's not a guy that speaks often. But when he does, he can be very honest. And in this setting, I thought he was extremely honest and thoughtful about what happened. So first, he talks about how he found out he was traded. We've gotten bits and pieces of this story, whether it was him streaming, talking about it, just different things. But this is probably the fullest big picture beginning to end story about how he found out he was traded. So here's Chauncey on the Pivot podcast talking about that.
How did you find out you were getting traded?
At night, I'm just, what I was doing, trying to stream on Twitch. If I get a phone call, hey buddy, oh, man. I'm thinking I done did something crazy. But you know when you ain't do nothing, you just trying to like, okay, we haven't signed nobody at free agency. What they got to do with me?
This is the Eagles?
Yeah. Okay. What they got to do with me? Yeah, and the team's on a younger slate right now. I'm 27. What they got to do with me? I'm like, bent. I'm going word for word. Yeah, so I'm going to let you know in the morning, we're going to send you or we're going to cut you. Whoa. I said, if you cut me, you got to clean it up. Like, with nothing going on, I said, if the slate situation affected this ain't got nothing to do with that. I say, please let me know why I'm getting cut or, like, clarify. Cause this is out of the blue. 10 o'clock the next day, they'll send you to Houston. What? I say, hold on. I just called Nick. Nick don't answer. I called Dom. Dom don't answer. Howie calling. Your contract way too much. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, it's bullshit. I'm on an incentive-based contract. I'm paying $1 million this year. Hmm. How am I weighing too much? Mm-hmm. If you want to protect and bring more, just say, because I had the option to take my salary and turn it to a sign of bonus or whatever it may be and reconstruct pretty much so guys can get paid. I said that. yeah, but we still need more money. I say, Howie, do what you need to do best for his organization. I say, I just want to go somewhere where I can win. As simple, I say, I just want to go somewhere where I can win.
So there's a couple really interesting takeaways from that. So first, it sounds like Chauncey was gone no matter what. This was not about acquiring Kenyon Green. This was not about getting something for him. He was going to be gone because he says in there he was going to be released. So obviously the Eagles were going to do that to save cap and trading him. The Eagles were going to do that to save money, cap space, but to save money and cash, which we've gone over ad nauseum on this pod about how they wanted to save cash so they can pay people next offseason, which is something that Chauncey talks about in there. He says, you know, basically he talks about how he could have restructured his contract. Like, he wanted to stay, but they were going to move on from Chauncey. I also thought it was interesting that he called Nick and he called Dom, and it just speaks to the power Dom has in that organization, right? And that's no secret. We all knew Dom was important, but we're talking about where Chauncey's getting traded. He wants to know what's going on. He wants to have the answers, and he's calling Howie, Nick, and Dom. So I thought that was super interesting. Also interesting, Nick and Dom didn't pick up. You wonder if maybe they were letting Howie handle that one. Maybe they weren't by their phones, but just interesting that they didn't pick up. And then, you know, we're going to talk about the Darius Slay thing in a minute because he does go into it. But he also mentions he wants to be clear the Slay thing wasn't part of it. So you remember he was traded right around the time there was tweets about him and Slay and stuff like that. So he does talk about the Slay thing a little more, but it's pretty clear that Chauncey believes money was not the real reason he was traded. As much as, you know, he says that's what they told him, he goes on in the interview to talk about the real reason he thinks he was gone. And man, is it an interesting quote. So Chauncey says he is gone because the Eagles are scared of a competitor. And he goes into some more detail about that. So here's Chauncey explaining why he thinks the Eagles are scared of a competitor.
Why aren't you, after winning a championship, two times in Philadelphia, bro, six picks each of those years, why are you now a Houston Texan and not a Philadelphia Eagle?
Scared of a competitor.
You said they're scared of a competitor?
Yeah. Simple as that.
What you mean?
You can't program a dog. Certain dogs, you can't say be a dog and then it's time to go out there. Hey, we need you. Look at the Washington Commanders game. I got kicked out. I was nowhere near the play. Nowhere near the play. Everybody was fed up with me. And I'm like, if you go back to that play, I celebrated with Reed Blankenship. And I'm getting cursed from head to toe on the sideline and looked at Vic even get on me. I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, people in the box, they call down and they're trying to figure out why am I getting kicked. They was trying to reverse the call. Because guys come off the sideline. Dude, if you watch that game, the game was already heavily. That's what sparked it. Then we had like a little scrum between at practice. Nothing. It's just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because I guess we're competing. When you telling the period is live, you telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period. We competing to get ready for a playoff game. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. It's like little antic things that, okay, so how you want to play football? Or you want me to be a leader and outspoken, but then you want me to sit back and just, I'm cool with taking the back seat, but I'm not cool with little things like, okay, I'm misled, I'm confused, I don't understand what you want me to do. So being in Philly is like, I would ask these things, I would go to the front office like, what's my role? Like, you guys say you want me to be a captain, but when decisions are made, I'm looked at like, oh, we're just going to call your agent. Mm. If I don't say like this, if I come in smiling, happy, and joy, oh, he's too much. If I come in there just quiet, nice to meet you, how you doing? Yes, sir. No, sir. Oh, something wrong with him. And so that's two-faced. Well, I don't know how to play it because even when I'm mellow tone, it's just a problem. I don't cause no problems. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere been in the locker room where I had a single issue with a teammate. Reed Blankenship wanted to be in his wedding. Be honest with you, those type, you know, that's my safety. Since his rookie year, you don't get those type of calls from people that think you're a problem.
True statement. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's real.
I just got traded, and I just met the owner, the GM was there, all the assistant coaches. You don't get called to a wedding if I was a problem. So it kind of leave me in a little confusion. Like, okay, I was just like, all right, what I got to do? Yeah, the outburst. So I'm like, all right. That's easy to tone back.
Yeah.
Just don't say nothing. Just like some people say, sometimes don't say nothing.
But then you do.
So we know the Washington thing. We saw that happened, and clearly it frustrated the Eagles. And then in there, he says, you know, that was kind of the beginning point. And then he talks about something that we didn't know before, which was it sounds like there was some kind of scrum at practice before a playoff game. He mentions in there a scrum at practice. It's his fault. It's a playoff game. It just, to me, listening to the Chauncey interview, it does sound like he was mostly cool with his teammates. I don't think outside of the Slay beef that he had problem with his teammates. He mentions, you know, Reed Blankenship wanted him in his wedding. He talks about going to the wedding of the assistant safety coach. But I do think it sounds like, you know, there's another story in there about how one time at practice, him and Saquon were like playfully talking trash. And in a practice rep that was supposed to be thud, but, you know, not live, he ran up and nearly drilled Jalen to send a message to Saquon. Now, didn't hit Jalen, but kind of send a message to Saquon like, that could be you. I could hit you like that. So it does sound like maybe the coaches in front office didn't completely trust him. And that does go to the Vic Fangio part of it, which is I think Fangio probably wants a safety that's going to do what he wants and not freestyle as much in coverage. And Chauncey was a liability in coverage at times, but you just hear the stories Chauncey says, and it's, you know, he sounds a little reckless. And so when he views it as scared of a competitor, I think what he's saying is my fire and how I do things is because I'm a competitor. And that is true. But I also think the Eagles have plenty of competitors that they don't have to worry about drilling another teammate in practice or getting kicked out of a game or anything like that. And again, they might miss Chauncey and his attitude. They certainly, certainly might miss it. But I do think the Eagles, outside of I do believe they wanted to save cash, Chauncey seems to paint this as they were maybe, not that they didn't feel they could control him, but he was kind of reckless at times, maybe in practice. So the other thing, as he hinted at a few times, is the Darius Slay beef. So if you remember last year, Slay said something about him on a podcast, and then Chauncey tweeted back, and there was the back and forth kind of where, you know, the fans weren't happy with Slay about it. And it was basically like, do Chauncey and Slay have beef? And it was something we talked to them about in the locker room, and they both said they were cool. Well, Chauncey goes into a little more detail, and it sounds like there was, I don't want to call it an incident, but it sounds like there was something in the locker room, an incident, I guess I will call it that, where players were pretty worked up about it. So here's Chauncey talking about the Darius Slay beef.
It became public, though, the back and forth with Slay. How did you guys sort of come to a resolution? Because we had him on the show. He's the coolest cat ever, bro.
You know what's so crazy? Me and Big Bro were really just like still have our daily conversations. People were like, why are you and Slay beefing? We're not beefing. We play on the same side of the field. He would say, LeBro, you got me in the post? I got you. If you beefing with somebody, you're not going to ask him that. You're going to try to take the post in the third, in the half, in the quarter flat. Like,
yeah.
It was. And then when everybody around, they kept picking at it. So as a vet, you probably got aggravated. And when he addressed it to me in the locker room, everybody want to make a scene. Like, we finna fight. No. So I just like, bro, no, I ain't got time for this right now. Everybody blew it up as in I'm mad at him. We in the locker room, bro. We gonna be coworkers. Let's just go talk about this. Or you call me, which what he did after we talked on the phone. Let's win Super Bowl this year. And that's what we did.
So the fact that, you know, it sounds like he's describing a specific moment. And the fact that he's describing a specific moment speaks to the fact that there was a moment there that was noteworthy between them two, between the two players. He does say that, you know, maybe people around him thought they were going to fight. It sounds like maybe Slay went up to him to talk and Chauncey said, you know, I don't have time for that. And then they talked later, basically. But ultimately, my takeaway from listening to this and just my interpretation is I think they probably could have coexisted as teammates, and they wouldn't have anyway. Slay is gone and Chauncey's gone. But it sounds like they weren't, you know, best friends. Sounds like they weren't super cool. And Chauncey's right. They played together well. Slay trusted him, like, oh, you got the post, right? Like, there was that level of trust. But it sounds like their relationship was strictly professional and not really the best of friends, which is crazy because Slay is someone that gets along with a lot of people I covered him for, 5 or 6 years or whatever. Very easy to get along with. And Chauncey seems like he gets along with his teammates, but they are kind of different in the way that Slay is big time joke around guy, and CJGJ seems to be a little bit more serious all the time. But yeah, the fact that players thought they were going to fight and that Slay had to call them, I don't know, kind of interesting. And then finally, as you know, this upcoming Friday is the ring ceremony where the Eagles will be receiving their Super Bowl rings. Well, as part of it, the question is who's going to come back, right? Because like Josh Sweat's gone, Milton Williams is gone, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson obviously also gone, now part of the Houston Texans. But he says he's going to come to the ring ceremony. His reason for coming is for coming to the ring ceremony is pretty interesting. So here's Chauncey explaining why he will be in attendance on Friday.
I gotta go to the ceremony because, like I said, they didn't. Yeah, they traded me, but they didn't do anything personally. Yeah. They didn't. I can celebrate this last moment with y'all. Mm-hmm. I went to the wedding for Joe Casper, our safeties coach. Amo was there. Alec was the assistant GM. We all shook hands. We dancing. I got one more. I got another memory with him. So I'm gonna make it last. So when you try to paint this narrative, you saw me and shook my hand, was laughing with me at this ring ceremony and his wedding. How crazy can I be? Mm.
So first, I'm happy for Chauncey that he's going. You don't want to miss out on that ring ceremony. I'm sure it'll be a little bit awkward. I'm sure it'll maybe bring up some feelings he has. Like, who knows, right, how it'll go. But he was a big part of that Super Bowl win, and he deserves to celebrate it for sure. Like, he deserves to get that ring. Now, if you also notice in there, he says part of it is, you know, you can't tell me I'm crazy if we're having fun and getting along at the party. Like, that can't be the reason you got rid of me if we're having fun. And he mentioned another part in the interview about being at a wedding with some of the people. And so it sounds like he wants to kind of prove to them a little bit, like, hey, I'm not this crazy troublemaker that maybe you think I am. And I think ultimately that's why Chauncey feels he was traded, that the Eagles, whether it's his personality, whether it's how he handles himself at practice, whatever it is, he thinks they got rid of him because of him. And I think going to the ring ceremony will be good for him because he should be able to celebrate, but also he should be able to, you know, go there, and sounds like he wants to show people that he doesn't feel that he's a problem. So is this the end of the Chauncey interviews? Who knows? He could talk at any point. If he says something interesting, we'll certainly talk about it here on the pod. But for about the fourth or fifth time, that's what Chauncey Gardner-Johnson had to say about being traded from the Eagles. Now, speaking of drama between a player and a team, the Washington Commanders not having the best offseason. Deebo Samuel's being made fun of for being out of shape. And now Terry McLaurin continues to have a problem with the team and the contract situation. So Terry McLaurin recently was at, looked like it was like a car dealership shooting a commercial somewhere in the Washington area. And I apologize, these videos are via Jordan Schultz. I don't know where he got them from. So if he stole them from someone or, you know, just retweeted it, I apologize for that. But here's Terry McLaurin talking about his current situation with the team.
Yeah, I've been pretty frustrated, I'm not going to lie. You know, everything that has transpired up until this point is just been disappointing and frustrating. You know, I've wanted to continue my career here. I've created my life here. You know, my wife and I have bought our first home here. So this has been somewhere where I've always wanted to be. And, you know, just to see how things have played out has been disappointing. Obviously, I understand everything's a business, but at the same time, like, you know, I want to put myself in a position where, you know, I'm valued and, you know, I feel appreciated and things like that. And, you know, unfortunately, that hasn't transpired the way I wanted to. So, you know, I'm just trying to take things day by day. And I think, you know, there has to be some active discussions, you know what I mean? Like I said, we haven't talked in over a month. And obviously with camp around the corner, like it's becoming a little bit of crunch time. And, you know, obviously you want to be in a position where you're building to what we did last year. And Jaden and I continue to build along with the offense. And that was the thing, like before I took a step back, it was, things were going great on the field. And, you know, the connection and the offense and the energy was just amazing. And so to see where it was then and where it's at now is definitely disappointing. So I don't necessarily know what happens next, but without any progressive discussions, it's kind of hard to see how I step on the field. So
that's two clips kind of spliced together there. But what's obvious is, it's unbelievable it's gotten to this situation with Washington and Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin is like the poster child for that team. I know Jane Daniels probably is now. Obviously, he's the quarterback. He has a personality, all those things. But man, through all these years of not being great, Terry McLaurin was the one who was on the team, who was, you know, the best player. You know, Jonathan Allen, you know, Payne, you can make the argument. But one of the best players. And now they're finally good. They have a real chance to maybe win a Super Bowl next year. And you're not going to pay Terry McLaurin? It's crazy to me. If this was a Washington pod, if this was Go Commanders, it would be, I can't believe that they're not paying Terry McLaurin. But this is good for the Eagles. Now, ultimately, if he gets paid, everything will be fine. It's just a tense situation. But if I'm Terry, I'm hurt. I'm hurt by this. You've worked for that team for a long time. You've been a model teammate, a model like poster for the franchise. You're someone that's played great. And now they're messing with you and your money when things are finally good. He's a big part of the reason that turned around. I mean, Jaden Daniels is awesome, but Terry McLaurin's a huge part of that offense. They have one good receiver on that offense, and it's Terry McLaurin. And now he's not getting paid. So, look, he probably will get paid. Who knows? But if I'm the Eagles, I'm loving this. Maybe he's traded. Maybe he's unhappy. Maybe this is permanent animosity between him and the team. But it's good news for the Eagles where the biggest competitor in their division is having a problem with arguably their best player. You got to love that if you're at the NovaCare Complex with training camp beginning next week. All right. On the other side, Nick Sirianni obviously spoke to the media about a month ago, and there's a bunch of quotes coming out from it now. We talked about a few of them yesterday, but what we didn't talk about was Sirianni speaking about his relationship with Jalen Hurts. So on the other side, we're going to get into that. But first, a word from our sponsors. So it seems like it was almost an eternity ago. But if you remember, you know, if you're old enough to remember back to last year at this time, there was lots of questions about the relationship between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. Jalen had that, you know, kind of weird answer to a question at the end of the season. There was the awesome piece by Tim McManus of ESPN talking about, you know, the relationship between the two. And there was a quote in there essentially saying, I don't think you'll see them go to get dinner anytime soon. But a lot has changed over the past year. They've won a Super Bowl together. Nick has consistently defended Jalen. And Jalen, to his credit, has been better at the podium talking about Nick and giving him credit. So, as I said, recently, about a month or whatever it was ago, Nick Sirianni spoke with some media members and talked about his relationship with Jalen Hurts. Now, we weren't allowed to use audio from that, so I only have the written word for you, which means you get to hear me read what Nick had to say. And this transcript is via Ruben Frank of NBC Sports Philadelphia. I think it's kind of spliced together a little bit, but these are the main parts of what he had to say about his relationship with Jalen. Quote, "We can only judge the relationship that we know we have, right? And so maybe that was what it looked like from the outside, but really you're judging on the basis of your daily interactions. And I feel like we've always had a good relationship and it just continues to get stronger the more time we spend around each other. I think we both have this will to improve and this will to win. And that works for us, that we're just both so committed to getting better and both so committed to winning. And you know, he loves football. I love football. Sometimes with relationships, the first thing you try to do is find your common bonds with people. And ours is football, which is great. It's about football. We both love the game. We both grew up in the game and as little kids going to practice. And we have this love for the game. Yeah, I really value the relationship I have with him. You know, obviously, he is the player he is, but I just love the way he comes to work every single day just with his single mindset of getting better and doing everything he can to help us win football games. And you can see that with his work ethic, and I love that." End quote. So I think, like, I could read an entire book on the Nick and Jalen relationship, and I do think it is a very interesting one. And how I view it after covering them both during their full times together is I think that Nick is somebody that really, really values having close relationships with people. Like, you know, there was another great Tim McManus story talking about the notes that he writes to his players. And, you know, when Rick Lovato was going through a personal situation, Nick was there for him. I think Nick, because of his upbringing, and he talks about seeing his dad when his dad was a coach and players would come to his dad's house when they had problems. And he was like a really helpful, important figure in their lives. Nick really values the one-on-one relationship with a person, with a player, right? And I can even see that from just being around Nick. Like, he is, from my perspective, a thoughtful, like, cares about relationship guy, right? And I think Jalen, from my perspective, is a little more of keep people at arm's length. I think he has the people he trusts and he likes, but I also think being who he is, the star that he is, the spotlight that's on him, he can be understandably protective about, you know, everything in his life, right? Like, he got married and it wasn't even a huge deal publicly. So, like, he's just very private. And I do think that while in the 2023 season, there were disagreements about the offense and, you know, those type of things and the Brian Johnson of it all, I kind of feel now the problem with Nick and Jalen was probably Nick wanted to be super close to him. Maybe Jalen is just not the type of person where that happens and it created friction. But what I like that I hear in there is that Nick has learned how to have a good relationship with Jalen that is on Jalen's terms. And this is what I've always said about them, that we can look at them and say, wow, Nick's super vocal and he's waving his arms on the sideline. He's running up and down. And Jalen could throw the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, literally, and not have any more emotion than he did off a first down or a completion at a training camp practice, right? So they do have that difference. But at their core, they are the same person. They just truly are. And he talks about that in there. He talks about their common bond is football. And I'm sure that Nick would love to have a common bond with Jalen that's not about football. And maybe they do. Maybe they do. And he's just not talking about it there. But it seems like Nick's common bond with other players on the team isn't football. And with Jalen, it seems like it's football. And I'm sure that that was probably a little hard at first for Nick, right? But now they are in a place where they get along because they have such a core common belief. And the core belief and the core passion they have is how much they love football and how much they love to be obsessed with football. I've always said this. When Nick goes home, I think he thinks about football. When Jalen goes home, I think he thinks about football. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you hear the stories about them talking a bunch during that bye week last year, and it helped their relationship. And what was it about? Football. Like, Zoom calls about football. So I think that Nick defending Jalen publicly is really good. When he calls the fact that Jalen doesn't get credit, he calls it bullshit. Like, I think that is good. And I think it helps their relationship. And I think that they can also probably bond over the fact that they could both feel disrespected. But the reason I think this can be a long-term relationship that will work is they both just love football. And that is they are the same person. They grew up in football families. Football has been the biggest thing in their lives. If you remember, I can't remember who wrote the article. It was maybe Bill Barnwell. I don't think it actually was. But remember, someone wrote that article for Sports Illustrated saying he's been around two people that football defines them, and that's Tom Brady and Jalen Hurts. I think football defines Nick Sirianni as well, 100%. Like, obviously, he loves family and all those things, but Nick, like, views everything through the lens of football. And I think Jalen is that same way. So maybe it took a while for them to get there. Maybe there was tension at certain points. But if they found a groove that works for them, relationships are all different, right? Like, you can compare your relationship to somebody else's. We can watch TV and can be like, this is the problem with that relationship. But ultimately, relationships work for different reasons. And this one seems to work. Maybe not because of how Nick's relationship works with another player, how Jalen's relationship works with somebody else. Their relationship seems to work because of their love for football. And I do think that is a sustainable way for them to be the two most important people on the team. And for them, where they have to get along, and it's important that they have a good relationship, it does seem like they have found a good thing to base that relationship on. So that'll do it for today's daily podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are getting closer and closer to training camp. Boy, oh boy, I can't wait, because we got so many exciting things coming your way. We've been having like some thoughts for the season, and man, it's going to be a fun one. So thank you so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.